Hello and welcome to the Wednesday, October 23rd, 2013 edition of the Sands and Storm Center's Stormcast. My name is Johannes Ulrich and I'm there recording from Augusta, Georgia. Network Solutions apparently had a major outage today. We got numerous reports about domains and websites hosted with Network Solutions being unreachable. There isn't any word yet from Network Solutions what caused this outage, whether it was a denial of service attack or whether it was a technical outage configuration problem. Really have no idea at this point. Around the same time, our website also experienced some slowness and some people were not able to connect. Not really sure whether that was related because our website, of course, for some of the IP lookups and so has to do DNS lookups, and they may have slowed down the website because the responses came in too slowly. We're still analyzing it, but at this point it doesn't really look like a denial of service attack. And Apple today did release a bunch of new products, which of course always cause a lot of news, but as usual, there were a couple of security fixes hidden in all of these updates. For example, Safari 6.1 will fix a number of security problems. OS X Mavericks, the new version of OS X, also includes security issues. Now, the security issues should also be fixed then in the current version of OS X Snow Leopard, so you can hold on to that version of OS X for a while longer and still expect security patches. One other issue that you should be aware of is the massive download for OS X Mavericks. I heard 5 gigabytes to download it. It is a free update to all OS X users. As such, you can expect lots of users downloading it fairly quickly. If you do have a number of OS X users on your network, it may be worthwhile to set up a proxy for Apple updates. That's accomplished pretty easily by using one of your OS X machines and installing OS X Server. OS X Server does have a component that allows you to proxy updates that are downloaded from Apple, and any machine, iOS or OS X, that's looking for an update will first do a little a broadcast on the local network to figure out if there is any system that has this proxy component installed. And John today posted a diary about a CryptoLocker with a quick update. I've mentioned CryptoLocker a couple times in this podcast. Still, there is no magic decrypt option for this other than paying. Now, one thing John is asking, if you did pay for the unlock key, to please let him know and share your unlock key to maybe find some kind of weakness in these keys that will allow us to reverse them. In addition, if you are subject to this infection, there may be a way to at least recover some of your files from a shadow volume, which is something you see in Windows XP version Service Pack 2 and later. If you have this feature, there may be a chance, and John points to a couple of manuals on how to take advantage of this shadow volume. And then we got a guest diary by Basil Alavi about how to use the Nexus 1000V switch in virtual environments. This is a switch that's actually distributed by Cisco for VMware, and it does allow you to collect NetFlow data. NetFlow data is really helpful if you have large packet volumes, large traffic volumes, or for other reasons don't want to collect full payloads. So Basil here is giving some advice as to how to enable and then collect NetFlow data using Silk in this environment. And if you are running one of the Netgear ReadyNAS network access storage systems, you probably should make sure you got them patched recently. A new firmware update was released over 3 months ago, which did include a fix for a trivially exploitable remote code execution in the web interface. Now, the problem is still a lot of systems are not patched. Those NAS devices tend to be a little bit iffy to patch. patch. You have to disconnect any systems that depend on it. In addition, a lot of these systems are apparently connected direct to the internet, which is something you definitely should avoid. So double check your networks, isolate those devices, and make sure they're patched. And the same individual who posted about the recent D-Link router backdoor, remember the one that had sort of backdoor spelled backwards as an HTTP user agent string, found a different backdoor in a number of routers from Chinese manufacturer Tenda. And these routers are often sold under other no-name brands. Now, in this case, the backdoor is a little bit more evolved. The particular router is listening on a high UDP port and then just waiting for a packet with a specific payload, which will then open the back door and allow unauthenticated access to the router. Now, the router is typically protected via WPS, but because WPS is not all that secure and this particular router does not limit brute forcing, it can pretty quickly be cracked, and then the backdoor is, of course, wide accessible and open. Well, that's it for today, so thanks again for listening, and talk to you again tomorrow. Bye.